starting in verse number 10, it says, "Come now therefore, send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they say unto and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." He said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." And God said moreover unto Moses, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto the land flowing with milk and honey." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. We thank you for all that you've done for us. I just pray now that you might guide in this message. I pray that we might get something out of it today. I know that this is the message that you've given me to give today, and I just pray, Lord, that you take and be with us, guide us, and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was going over some things the other day, and I came across this passage of Scripture, and it hit me just like that. And the reason it did is because I did something that is uncommon for me once in a while. No, I guess it isn't uncommon. I have a confession to make, okay? How many of you like confessions? I have a confession I have to make. And you know what? It's part of my message today. The title of my message today is Excuses. How many of you in the last week have made an excuse for something? I know I have. And you know what? And I felt terrible about it. I talked to Evelyn and I said to her, she says, "I thought you were coming up Friday." And I said, "I was going to." But, you know, whenever you use an excuse, a lot of times it started with "but." Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that your excuses many times always start out with "but"? And I said, you know, but, I said, we had a really busy day at the food bank, which we did. And I mean, I was swamped all day. I had to take a load of food over to Coolidge and get rid of it over there so that it didn't spoil and this and that and everything else. So we had a really, really busy day. And I said, but I'm going to make it up today. Today. That's Sunday. So we're going to take and go up to see her today. And but, you know, it's amazing of how easy it is to make excuses for things that we should probably be doing. And we don't. Because we think, well, you know what, if I make an excuse, I can get away with it. But you know, in the passage of Scripture that we just read, we see Moses on the mount before he started to lead the children of Israel. He's at the burning bush. Now, here's this bush that's burning. There's smoke, there's flames, but it's not being consumed. Now, I don't know about you, but if I saw a bush burning, there was smoke, there was flames, but it was still a bush, and nothing was burning on it, I think that would get my attention a little bit, wouldn't it, you? And it did Moses. Moses went over to it, and he got just about to it, and all of a sudden, there's a voice out of the bush that says, Moses. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do, right? You know, I'm going, that bush is talking to me? And Moses says, here am I. And the bush says, take your shoes off, for you're on holy ground. Where is he? He's out in the middle of nowhere. He's out in the wilderness, on a mountaintop. And all of a sudden this bush is saying, hey, take your shoes off because you're on holy ground. Now, to me, that would probably get my attention a little more. And then all of a sudden, out of the bush says, I want you to go to Egypt, and I want you to lead the people out of bondage. Now, God wanted him to go to the people and lead them out of where they were into the land of promise. He wanted him to go before Pharaoh, request that he let the people go. Great plan, isn't it? Because God was the one who devised it. Now, Moses was human. And do you know how I know Moses was human? Because he made excuses. He made excuses why he couldn't do what God wanted him to do. You know, I want to look at this a little bit today and show you why we use the same reasoning or excuses that Moses used. In verse 11 of chapter 3, we're going to be looking at this morning. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be, or God said, certainly I'll be with you. Now, let's take a look at this. Moses is saying to God, I can't go because I am mentally inadequate. Who am I to go? Right? Who am I? I'm no theologian. I'm no great leader. I'm no... Who am I to go? You know, he's saying, what great thing have I accomplished that I am the one that should lead this great people out of bondage? You know, I have never went to any college. I have never, no formal education. I have never been through any Bible courses. I have never read through my Bible yet. I have not went to any of the Dale Carnegie motivational seminars. You know, I have never been taught how to lead people. I am a follower, not a leader, and I have never led anything in my entire life except these sheep. Hey, he's got a good excuse, doesn't he? He's inadequate of leading anything other than sheep. That's all he's ever done. What did Moses forget? Where he was the first 40 years of his life. He was in Pharaoh's court. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. You know, I have no great attribute to lead these children of Israel. You know, when God called me into the ministry, I said, why me, Lord? Why would you call me to be a preacher? After all, I'm no Dr. Jack Hiles, I'm no Lee Robinson, I'm no Billy Graham, I'm no Benny, I'm nobody. Why are you calling me to be a preacher? You know, what can I offer you that others can't? You know, I'm just a nobody with a nobody education and a nobody spirit. You know, why is it you called me to be the pastor of Florence Baptist Church? A And you know what I came up with for an answer? Nobody else to do it. So guess what? I had to do it. And no, that isn't what I came up with. But look at what God told Moses. He says, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee." You know, I will be with you, and don't worry about the little things. You know, you would have thought that there should have been enough for Moses. After all, God is talking to him one-on-one out of a burning bush, and he said, "Hey, don't worry about it. I'm going to be with you." But you know what? Look at verse 13. It says, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and they shall say, say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is what? His name. What shall I say unto them?" Listen, he's using the excuse of authority. You know, "By what authority shall I tell them that I am sent to you?" Hey, that's a good question, isn't it? You know, what gives me the authority to do what you told me to do? You know, after all, Moses is going to go to Pharaoh himself. He was going to go to the leaders of the children of Israel, all 12 tribes, and he's going to say, "Okay, boys, this is what God told me." How many are going to believe him? Probably not very many. They'll say, "Hey, who sent you? Who is the one who sent you here?" "Well, the God of your fathers." "Well, what's his name?" You know, that's a good question. You know, Moses had a good excuse. He had a very good excuse. "Well, what am I going to tell them when I get to them? I can't just walk in there and say, Hey, boys, get everybody together. We're going to take and leave Egypt." Right? That would be like someone coming up to us and saying, "Hey, make sure you sell your house, your car, and everything else, because Jesus is coming this afternoon." Right? "Well, what authority gave you that?" No one. Now, here we see that Moses was going to go to a great people who was going to take and question him as to the authority he had. You know, there are so many people today who use excuses. "I can't go and start a church here or there because I don't have the authority to do it." They feel they need some blessing from some higher official than God to go and start a church or a ministry somewhere. They feel that they need to be given the green light from super pious preacher or pope or rabbi or something like that to go and do what God has told them to do. You know, God told Moses, "I am that I am, and there's no other reason." Now, think about that for just a minute. If someone walked up to you and said, "You know, you need to do this or that." Well, who told you that? "I am." Right? You know, let's face it. If someone walked up to you and said, "Hey, you need to start a Sunday school class." Well, who told you that? "I am." Yeah, I can see Moses walking up to the children of Israel, getting meeting with all the leaders, and they said, "Well, who sent you?" "I am." You think about that, and that's the only thing God could be called. "I am. I am now, I am in the future, and I am in the past. I am always." So here we see that Moses was kind of looking at God's authority and saying, well, you know what? Who told you to do that? You know, when I came to Florence, I was told by a lot of preachers, believe it or not, great preachers, that I shouldn't come to Florence because it was too small of a town. And many times I have to agree with them. But I was sent here by God and no man. I can remember Dr. Meschler, him and I met one day, and he said, you shouldn't go to Florence to start a church because you're going to run out of doors to knock on. I said, okay, really? He says, yeah. And I talked to my wife, and my wife says, well, isn't the people of Florence, don't they deserve to hear the gospel message just like they do in Phoenix? I said, yeah. Because I almost didn't come here. And then I met with Brother Goddard from Wildermar Baptist Church in California. And this is what he said to me. He said, I want you to look at it this way. If God sent you to Florence, you need to go. Doesn't matter how big it is. Doesn't matter how many people it is. God will bless the ministry. Period. That's what he said. And that's why we started the church here in 1999. Is because God is the one who sent me, not men, not anybody else, but God sent us here. You know, you can feel that there's lots of reasons why people don't want you to go and do what God wants you to do when he called you to do it. There's a lot of people out there that are going to say, no, you can't do this and you can't do that because of this or that. But if God called you to do it, you need to do it. But look at chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Whoa. Who is going to believe me? That's what Moses is saying. Another excuse. Who's going to believe me? After all, what I am, I'm just a shepherd boy. I'm a shepherd. How old was Moses at this time? Who can tell me?
Huh?
80 years old. He was 80 years old when he started leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. He spent 40 years in Pharaoh's court, 40 years with Jethro on the backside of the desert, and he spent 40 years leading the children of Israel in the wilderness. He's 120 years old when he died. But he says, who is going to believe me? What message am I going to give them that they haven't heard already? You know, what am I going to preach to them that will stir their hearts into knowing what the truth is? You know, I'm not going to go to an area where most of the people do not believe who God is. You know, it will be hopeless. I don't know why I'm even thinking about doing this. You know, a preacher spends 4 to 5 hours per week, per message, preparing them. And you know, nobody comes to hear it. Moses told God, who will believe what I say? All I am is some country bumpkin who watches his father-in-law's sheep on the backside of the desert. What does God say in verse 2? He says, the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? He said, a what?
A rod.
What's that in your hand, Moses? A rod. Moses told God, he says, well, I have a rod in my hand. What'd God say? Throw it on the ground. Throws it on the ground. What happened? Turned into a snake. He's, okay, grab the tail of it. I don't know if I would have done that. I really don't. I don't know if I would have reached down and grabbed that snake by the tail. I have a very strong respect for snakes. Especially those that rattle. And so here we see that Moses reaches down, grabs it, it turns back into his rod again. Now, God says to us, what is that in your hand? After all, Moses had a rod, didn't he? The difference between Moses and us is that we have a sword. We have a sword. We don't have a rod. We have a sword. We have the very Word of God. We have everything that we need in life right here in our hand. You know, so many times people are afraid to take and do what God wants them to because they don't feel they have the right equipment to go and do what God has for them to do. Now, in Isaiah 55:11 it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. You know, listen, well, we need to realize that every promise in this book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. It doesn't make any difference. If I believe it or not, it's still true. Yep. Because it's penned out by God. You know, God says, I'm going to equip you with what you need to do what I've called you to do. And it's all in this book. You know, as long as we trust God, His Word will lead us through all the things that we're going to be afraid of. You know, you have no idea how many times since I've been a pastor that I've had to take and go to God's Word to find out what He wants for the people in this church. But you know, you would have thought that after Moses had walked up and started talking to this burning bush that wasn't consumed, and it spoke back to him and telling him all this stuff that he's supposed to do, and he casts his rod on the ground and turns into a snake and he grabs a hold of it, turns back into a rod again. You know, that would have been enough for me to say, oh, you know what, maybe there is something about this. Maybe this is true. But not Moses. Not Moses. Look at chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither therefore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Lord, I don't speak good. I ain't got good grammar. I can't speak good English. Or at that time it was Chaldean. Sometimes people make fun of the way I talk. You know, we have excuses like that all the time. I can remember, after God called me into the ministry, I said to God, I said, I can't be a preacher. I cannot stand up and preach to people that I don't know. The only time I'd ever preach is people in my home church. I knew them all. They're all my friends. They're all my family. I knew everybody. I said, I can't stand up and preach in front of people that I don't know. 1997. We came down to Arizona to visit Mrs. Storm and my mom, my stepdad. A week before we left, I got a phone call from my mom's pastor. And he says, hey, I hear you're coming down for 2 weeks. I said, yeah. He said, do you think you could take and preach in the church for 2 weeks? My wife and I are going to go on vacation. We haven't been on vacation for 25 years because I didn't have anybody to fill the pulpit. Could you come fill the pulpit for 2 weeks? I'm going, well, I guess so. We came down. I preached Wednesday night. I preached Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school for 2 weeks. Got back home, got down on my knees, and I said, okay, fine, Lord. I can preach in front of whoever. As long as you are with me, I can do it. Now, think about Moses for just a minute. Here he says, you know what? There's no way, none, zero, that I can take and talk to all these people because I cannot speak eloquently. You know, we don't need to have an excuse about preaching to people that we don't know. The Holy Spirit is going to take and do the speaking for us. You know, when I get behind this pulpit, when I pray, guess what? I lose myself. The Holy Spirit takes over and He preaches through me. You know, Moses said, I am slow of tongue. He had a hard time expressing what he wanted to say. But you know, God goes on, He says, well, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? You know, all we need to do to be ready is we have to have a willing heart. God knows what we need, and He's going to supply our need as we need it. You know, many of you would never know at one time I was afraid to get up and speak in front of people. I was very shy at one time in my life. But yet God has helped me to overcome that. Yeah, I've spoke to two or three, and I've spoke to as many as 2,000 or 3,000 at a time. And it isn't me who does the speaking, it's the Holy Spirit. In 1 Peter 3:15 it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, if you have a message to give, God is going to help you give that message. You know, someone once asked me where I received my training for being a preacher. After all, I did not go to a seminary. I didn't go to a college to learn how to do homiletics and all this other stuff. You know, I learned it from the school of hard knocks. And they said, well, where did you learn it from? Well, I had a preacher when I was in high school that had a philosophy that all boys should at one time get behind the pulpit. Foolish man. He knew what kind of a person I was when I was in high school. And he let me preach anyway. But you know what? I got behind there the first time with fear and trembling. I'll never forget it. It was a Wednesday night. He said, okay. He says, you're up. I got up there and I had notes like you wouldn't believe. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to show you, preacher. I'm going to preach for an hour and a half. I got up there and I started preaching. And going through my notes. 15 minutes, I was all done. Sat back down. I'm thinking to myself, boy, that was a long time. I said to my mom, I said, how long did I preach? She said, 15 minutes. I said, no, it had to be longer than that. She goes, no, you only preached for 15 minutes. I said, it had to be longer than that. Well, let me tell you where I got my preaching experience. One of the first places that I ever preached in was junior church. That's where I started. I'll never forget, Brother Weiss came to me one time and he says, hey, he said, I need somebody to take junior church. Can you do it? I'm going, junior church? Little snot-nosed brats? Me? I said, okay. So for the next 5 years. That's where I was in junior church. Well, then I went to More Than Conquerors, and I preached in More Than Conquerors. Then I got into the youth group, and I was preaching to the high school kids. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't long, and I was preaching in nursing homes. If you want a good experience, go to a nursing home and preach. But you know, it got to a point where I preached in anywhere anybody wanted me to go. And I said, man, this is kind of fun. I'll never forget, though, when God called me into the ministry, he said, I said to him, I can't preach and prepare 3 messages a week. And God showed me I could. You know, was I good at what I did? Probably not. But it gave me a good experience to do it. You know, if you feel you can't speak well, you're the exact person that God wants to do something for him. If you want to have experience preaching, hey, I'll let you preach in junior church, More Than Conquerors. I'll let you preach at Tug. I'll let you preach in chaplain school. I'll let you preach at the prayer breakfasts we have, Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. You just tell me when you want to preach. You know, don't give the excuse, I can't talk, because God will talk for you. Exodus 4:12 says, now therefore go, I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. But you know, Moses had another excuse. Look at verse 13 of chapter 4. It says, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Oh, Moses says, hey, send somebody else. I don't want to go. I have a lot of things that I need to get done around here. I have a lot of things that have to be done at home. And my father-in-law needs me. Send someone else. Luke chapter 14, 7 and 19 says, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one accord, or one consent, began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Listen, Jesus used the parable of a wedding feast. 3 men were bidden to come, and they all had different excuses why they couldn't be there. Not one of them said they just didn't want to come. They all gave excuses. Each had an excuse why they did not want to be included in the feast. You know, people today are no different. They can always give up at least 40 to 11 different excuses why they can't do things for the Lord. You know, I get ridiculed all the time because I do a lot around the church myself. You know, preacher, why do you do all this yourself? Why don't you have somebody else do it? Well, many times over the last 19 years, I've asked people to help and I get excuses why they can't. You know, I visited people who have been in church and they can always make an excuse why they're not here. The other day I was in Walmart and I ran into a guy. I said to him, I said, missed you in church. I haven't seen you for a while. Well, we're going to be there. I said, when? Sunday. They're not here. They're not here. And I know if I run into him again, guess what? He's going to have an excuse why he weren't here today. You know, each of us in this room will know the things which we feel are most important in our lives. And if God isn't important to us, we will have an excuse why we can't serve him. Just like Moses did. Listen, there was a lot of things important in Moses' wife. He had a wife, children. He had a father-in-law. He had sheep. He had all kinds of things. He had a lot of things that were more important to him than God. You know, why is it that we make excuses why we can't? When we just say, okay, Lord, here am I, use me. Here am I, Lord. Use me or what you can use me for. You know, if you've been making excuses why you can't do things for the Lord, if you have a real feel inadequate teaching or preaching, you need to do like Moses did. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 18, it says, and Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren, which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Moses, after all the excuses he had brought before the Lord, was now ready to do what God wanted him to do all along. He was willing to leave his family. He was willing to leave his father-in-law. He was willing to go and do what God had called him to do. You know, we need to take and do what God has called us to do. You know, maybe there's somebody here today that God has called to be a Sunday school teacher. Or maybe he's called you to be a preacher, missionary. Maybe he's called you to teach in the school. Maybe he's called you to work in the food bank. Maybe he's called you to do something here in the church. What we need to do is just say, here am I, Lord, send me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today.